shall his day. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? See what may the tidings be, which inspire your heavenly song. Come to Bethlehem and see Him whose birth the angels sing. Come, adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis.
Thank you very much, ladies. That was a blessing. Lots of blessings this morning already. And one of the big blessings of this morning was just this whole front row. I really appreciated the more instruments that we have, the better sounding, the fuller sounding. Every single person that was up here on that front row, thank you so much for participating today. What a blessing that is. It's powerful. It's powerful the more music that we have. And so what other instruments are out there is what I'm asking. I'm looking around and I'm seeing some. I'm not seeing it. Well, I'm seeing some instruments here, but I'm seeing some people that play other instruments. And so we're recruiting, okay? We want more. I leaned over to Pastor Dan at the beginning. I said, boy, I can't wait until it's the next row and the next row or here or whatever. We need more people playing and get our own, as Rick has been referring to it, our little orchestra that is getting bigger. And that excites me. And I'm hoping that it gets bigger here very soon. So if you've got that instrument out, pull it out and let's start practicing and so that we can use it. Honestly, it enhances. It's a channel for the gospel. Music is a channel for it. In fact, tonight we're going to see that music is a channel for the gospel. And I just want to also add to what Pastor Dan said. Let's be praying and seeing what God can do tonight to bring people through the channel of music that they can receive the gospel message of salvation. It will be tremendous. Take your Bibles and let's go to the book of John. John chapter 8 is where we're at this morning. John chapter 8. This is not the last message on Complete in Christ. Next Sunday, I have a message planned on finishing, I was going to say completing the series, but it will be a completion of it. A passage, and it will be a Christmas message. It will be the 26th, and so I thought it's still fitting to give a Christmas message next Sunday. And it won't be one of the I Ams, but something else that I think that will be a blessing to you from the book of Isaiah concerning the completeness of Jesus Christ. And so that will be next Sunday, and again, giving us a good, complete picture of who Jesus is. John chapter 8, if you're not already there, we're going to be looking at some verses here. John chapter 8, looking at verse 12, which says Jesus makes a statement on being the light of the world. Let me ask you a question before we get into this passage in John chapter 8. Looking at lights, do you enjoy looking at Christmas lights? I do. I've told you this before, something that our family has done out of tradition. I don't know if Melissa's family did that before. She's saying no, my family did. Ever since I can remember in Wyoming growing up with my family, we always went out sometime during the Christmas season and we drove all around looking at the Christmas lights. There's a lot more variety out here than what we had in Rock Springs, Wyoming. It was a town of about 19 or 20,000, and so it was still a decent size for Wyoming. You know, this is a side note for free, that 19,000, a city in Wyoming, 19,000, it was the fourth largest city in the entire state. So we lived in a metropolis, you laugh at that, but it was a big city out there, but the fourth largest in Wyoming. But we've got lots of lights out here, and so we have to decide where we're going to go. And actually, tomorrow night is our night to go do that, and so we're going to go do that tomorrow evening. But looking at Christmas lights are fun, aren't they? Do you like Christmas lights? I like Christmas lights. Even lights themselves, you take something that doesn't have lights and you add lights to it, and it does something to the item, doesn't it? You add lights. You add lights to this, and you add lights, and say, wow, that looks so much nicer. You go to a place that's well lit up, and there's just something about it that is so intriguing. You know, you take the little tiny bulbs of Christmas, and some people have bigger bulbs, and there's something unique with the bigger bulbs. And then these days, the thing, you know, to have spotlights on the front, or if you've seen some people that have a tree, that's lost all its leaves, and they've got a spotlight kind of going up the tree, and it's got its own unique thing. And I think all of them are neat. You know, a light on anything is a tremendous thing. What do you think of when you look at lights? Now, I know for myself, I'll be honest with you, I'm right with you. There's nothing, you know, just because I'm the pastor doesn't mean that everything that I'm going to present to you about Christmas lights or the light of the world, it doesn't mean that when I go look at Christmas lights, I'm thinking about the theological significance of the lights. Honestly, when I look at the lights, I'm just as enamored by the light itself that you are, and I'm looking at the beautiful decorations. And so I don't think any differently than you. But the question really is when we look at lights, is there something for us to see? You know, a lot of people, let me take another side note to this. A lot of people, I mean, just to be honest with you, you say, where do all the traditions and things come from with our holidays that we have? Can I tell you this? There are a lot of traditions that come from a lot of different places. And honestly, there have been a lot of traditions that in a sense have maybe come from some pagan background. There was this and this. Can I tell you something? While the devil exists and while sin exists, the devil wants to turn anything positive into something bad. You know that? Anything that can be made something that was good. By the way, Jesus was the first light of the world, and he'll be the last light of the world. Anybody that wanted to take the light and twist it up into some pagan thing, just ruined for themselves that item. There's a lot of things that, and by the way, if you're somebody here today that struggles with a part of a tradition that people do, and there's different holidays that we do, and some people will not do this, and some people will not. I'm not preaching against you. You have your convictions. You have the things, as long as you make sure they're biblically based. But can I say this? I will just take this one thing, that the world and the devil loves to take something good and turn it into something bad, even for us, if it was a long time ago. But we need to be careful at twisting it and making it be something bad to us. Just because it was bad then doesn't mean that it has to be bad for us. And so I say all that to say, you know what? And I didn't do the research because, to tell you that from my perspective, you can have a different perspective. I don't really care if it had a pagan background, the light, because I trace it back further than that pagan background to Jesus. And I enjoy looking at lights. And I want to. I love to see a Christmas tree lit up with lights. I love to see it pointing to Jesus. I love that. And light can be a tremendous thing in the background of a dark world. And I would think that the devil wants us to have a dark world. And I think he wants us to have a very dark Christmas as well. So I think that we need to appreciate the lights that are around. Lights are opposite of darkness. I think that there's every reason to be biblical and scriptural and godly thinking of lights. So will you enjoy lights this Christmas season? Some of you already have. Lights are out. Things are lit up. Lights. But a lot of times when we look at these lights, we don't see much deeper. But I really believe that the lights can be there for a purpose. I honestly think that the lights can be there, whether they were made this way. I don't know whoever started, you know, decorating at Christmas with lights. I don't know where it came from. Again, I didn't do the research. But I will tell you this, I don't know their reason, but I do believe that we in 2021 can look at lights in a different way after this message. And if you're like us, going to go out tomorrow evening and look at lights, I hope that when you see the lights, that it will be a different perspective than what you have. This morning we want to look at the complete I am, and Jesus said in John 8:12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Now, let me give you a little bit of context of what's going on here. They had just gotten through the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles. I don't know if you're familiar with all the feasts, but the Feast of Tabernacles was a time that, let me give you what they were doing at the Feast of Tabernacles. Well, just a little bit. I'm not going to get into the Feast of Tabernacles, but just a little bit. Something that relates to this light is there would be on some sort of lampposts in a location in the temple, there would be a place where there would be huge lights that were lit. And these lights were there, and there were singing and jubilee and celebration. And what they were doing is they were celebrating, of course, going back to the deliverance from Egypt. But at this time of celebration during the Feast of Tabernacles, there were huge lamps that were lit with huge lights. And these people had been through a week of feasting and jubilee going through, and they had seen these lights. And on the backdrop of this, Jesus steps in and says, I'm the light of the world. Now, some would say that maybe the direct reference would be those lights that were there in the temple, and as they had these big lights, and Jesus then turning and saying, but I am the light of the world. I don't know about that. But let's take it further. Whether there was any significance from the Feast of Tabernacles, let's go back to what the Feast of Tabernacles represented, and that represented the wanderings in the wilderness. And you remember what was in the 40 years of wanderings in the wilderness that the people had to follow. And you saw reference in this verse that there was some following, right? The light and following. What did the nation of Israel have for the 40 years as they were wandering through the wilderness? What did they have? Remember, they had the cloud and the pillar, the fire, right? They had that. There was a light to follow. I believe as they celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles that Jesus was, as they celebrated this wandering, as they celebrated the light, Jesus was saying, you know, just as Jehovah was there with light and the cloud and the, you know, and the pillar, the cloud by day and the pillar by night, just as God was and Jehovah was, he comes in and says in a very contemporary way, I am the light of the world even today. I'm the light of the world. I believe that that's what he was referring to. So I do believe that there might be some significance right there as they had just finished the Feast of Tabernacles, as there was these big lights. But even those big lights were symbolic of something that happened many, many years before that, as God was their light, and now Jesus is saying, and I, I am the light of the entire world, not just to the Jewish community as they wandered through the wilderness. I am the light of the world. We see here in this name of Jehovah, I am. I am is Jehovah. We see the self-existent one. That means he is, and there is no other. He is the light. It doesn't mean that the Christmas light or the lights that are hanging, you know, above you here today, it doesn't mean that they're really not lights, because only God is light. We're not talking so much about a physical light, but he is the light. He is the spiritual light of the world to lead us and guide us into spiritual things. And Jesus shows up and says, I am the light of the world. And it's very exclusive. They're inclusive and exclusive. He is including himself. He's saying, this is who I am, but he's excluding everything else. That is a false light. I am the light. And this is what you need to look for help. This is what you need to look for light, and reject those other things out there. I want to look this morning at some implications and applications of what light is and what Jesus could have been referring to with the light. Okay? Certainly, Jesus is making a claim to his deity. He is saying, I am God, I am the one, I, and there is none other. Just like God said a long time ago when he made himself known to Moses on the mountain, when he said, I am God and there is none else, and I'm the only one to worship. Jesus is here saying the same thing. I am that light. I am him. I am the one that you ought to worship as God. So we see his claim to deity again in another way. But what did Jesus mean when he said, I am the light of the world? All right, and so here we are in John. Well, let's go to John chapter 1. Let's keep your finger here. We're going to be back in chapter 8 looking at the light of the world. But go back to chapter 1. And here, you know, we see John referring to Jesus as the light. He would not be the only light mentioned in John chapter 1, but just look at John chapter 1. Let's start in verse 1. And let's go through verse 9. In the beginning was the Word. There's the Logos. And who is that being? Who is that referring to? Who's the Word? You probably know it. Who's the Word? Jesus, right? So in the beginning was the Word, Jesus. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Okay? He was not a God. He was not whatever he was. He was God. Okay? He was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, that's the Word, and without him was not anything made that was made. So all things were made by the Word. In him, that's the Word, was life, and the life was the light of men. There's the first reference in John of the light. So this Word was the life, and he also was the light. That's Jesus. He was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. This is referring to the light of Jesus as he was in the world. Remember when he first came into the world, he was not recognized by them, which this passage is going to get into here in just a moment. Now, verse 6 kind of goes into a different idea for just a moment. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And this is who? John the Baptist. Okay, so John the Baptist. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. Notice the light. Who's the light? Jesus. So John the Baptist came to bear witness of the true light, which is Jesus, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light. John the Baptist was not that light. It was Jesus. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. John the Baptist was sent to bear witness of the light, Jesus. That, Jesus, was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Did you follow all that? John was a light, but he was a light to bear witness of the light. I liken it to the moon. The moon is sent to bear witness of the light, the sun. In fact, what makes the moon the moon? The sun does. The sun is the light, right? Without the sun, would the moon have light? No, the moon is a is a tool that's used by God to light the night up. We've got the sun and we've got the moon. It's a luminary in the sky to light from the sun. And so John was a moon, if I could say. He was a little moon that shone the light. And we are also to be lights, little lights shining the true light of Jesus Christ. Now that's not what I'm preaching on this morning, but just understand that John completely and adequately and accurately describes that the light, no, he wasn't referring to John the Baptist, the light is Jesus. Jesus is the light. Now back to John chapter 8 and verse 12. So Jesus is speaking and he said, I am the light of the world. Now I want you to think, we're going to be just very practical here this morning. What makes light light? What is special about light when we see light? I think first of all, there's a reference in what Jesus is saying to God's presence. The verse says, but shall have light. We're talking about John chapter 8, verse 12. He says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So he shall have. So there's a reference here to God's presence. The light was a symbol of God's presence with the Israelites in the wilderness, right? And we're talking about God's presence. So light to the Israelites meant a lot of things. But first of all, there was a symbol of God's presence. God is with us. When they didn't see light, if they didn't see light, where would God go? You know, and I'd imagine at any given night, if the light wouldn't have been there, they would have said, where is God's presence? Where did God go? Because the light exemplified God's presence. As they saw the light, they could safely say, God's here. Because the light is there. Light certainly is a symbol of God's presence specifically. They knew that God was with them. They knew that they were in close proximity of God. In Numbers chapter 14 and verse 14, we read, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that the Lord art among his people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of a cloud and in a pillar of fire by night. Did you catch the significance? These people in Numbers 14:14 recognized that the Lord art among his people because they could see the light. You know, light in our world signifies and symbolizes to us that we're in close proximity because we can see the light. There's a presence that's there. I've told you my story of getting lost, you know, in the forest. Again, I went hunting with my dad almost every year and for, you know, long periods of time. And I will tell you that it was different. And I know that there are many people that are not hunters. I'm sorry that a lot of my illustrations come from sports and hunting, and a lot of faith congregation are not hunters and necessarily sports people, but it's who I was. And so bear with me. But as I went through the woods with my dad, and I honestly was a scared child. I was scared of the dark, and I was scared of being lost. And my dad, to me, was a source of light, if I could say. I didn't mind walking through the woods by myself as long as I was in proximity to where I could see my dad. That's I didn't have any fear when I could see my dad. And a lot of times, we don't do drives out in Wyoming like they do here. If you are a hunter, we never did those kind of things. We didn't sit in tree stands, and we didn't hunt in little patches of woods, okay? We hunted in thousands and thousands, and 10,000s of acres wouldn't describe it. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of acres. We had the whole, area to ourselves and the grizzly bears. And I'm not joking when I say that. We had it to ourselves. We go out there and it wouldn't be out of the ordinary that you wouldn't see people for, you know, you could days unless you went driving down the road. But we had, we're by yourself out there. And that's what, so again, you know, here it might not relate, you know, of course I don't need to hunt, you know, I can hunt by myself out here and it's not a problem. But hunting by yourself out there is an issue. You want to be in close proximity. And so going by myself, even though I might be able to find my way back to camp at night, I wanted to be in close proximity to my dad because I wanted to make sure that we're on the same path, going the same direction, on the same side of the mountain, in the same area. And I took comfort when I could see my dad. But when I could not see my dad, there was a scare. I don't know if he's going off this direction. I don't know if I'm going off the wrong direction. I loved it when I could see. And a lot of times as we're going through or maybe coming back at night, there might be a light. You look for that light. You say, you know what? I know that I'm not far away. Or maybe you're coming down into camp, walking by yourself. You know, it got dark. You hunted till dark and you're coming. And you could see a light way down at the bottom of the mountain, but you knew that that's where camp was. Or maybe dad was already at the truck and the lights were on and I'm making my way back. But that presence of either my dad or at night, that light meant the world to me because there's presence. God was that to the people in Israel as they wandered through the wilderness. That light showed up there in the wilderness, showed up as a sense of security and presence to those people. God is with us. Well, isn't that fitting that Emmanuel would come and he would be Emmanuel. He would be God with us. There's that presence. Jesus came, catch this folks, Jesus came to say, listen, God is with you. As I am here, God is with you. God has not gone anywhere. As I am here, God is with you. Jesus was there. The presence of light is a very comforting thing. You ever been at a dark, dark place all by yourself, no light at all? Nothing that's there. And then all of a sudden you see a light. Again, another foreign thing to Pennsylvanians. But there could be times on a road, even a highway in Wyoming, where you might be the only light on a stretch of road. The only light for miles. And then off in the distance, there's a light. Maybe dad and I would be going hunting and we would be there in a flat tire. Sometimes we'd be going up at 10, 11, 12 at night because we got off of work or had some other things or whatever and going up late for the next day and be there and you have a flat tire and it's dark outside. You don't have the tools you need. And I'll tell you, there's a comforting thing when up the road, maybe a couple miles away, there's a light. The light represented help. The light represented somebody's presence. And you've been there, maybe not in those circumstances in Wyoming, but where a light meant a lot. It meant God's presence. You know, tomorrow night, the Madrid family is going to go out and we're going to see some lights. And I hope that even though we'll be in the presence of a lot of lights, we won't be in the middle of the desert or the middle of the forest and all the kids will be like, Dad, there's a light. No, it's not going to happen. But I'll tell you what, I hope when we see the light, we'd say, you know what, kids, that light that's on the top of that tree or that's shining in that window, these lights that are all, this front of this house are all lit up, shows us something. It shows us that God is here. And that's, Jesus was saying, I am the light of the world. There is a presence of God with light. And Jesus was sharing that with these people. This is opposed to the emptiness and aloneness of man. Do you know that man without God, without Jesus, is in darkness? Emptiness, aloneness. I want to tell you something along with that. We need to get people light so that they have the presence of God in their lives. But we need to praise the Lord for the light of the world. And when you see a light this Christmas, let's remember and be thankful for the presence of Emmanuel, God with us. Let's go to the next application of light. You know, light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He says that he that followeth after me, you know, can I tell you that light is more than just a presence? Light is a symbol for leading and guiding. Leading and guiding, so know where to go and how to get there. You know, the light certainly was a symbol for the people of direction in the middle of the wilderness. When the cloud or the cloud or the light picked up and moved, what were the people to do? They were to pick up and follow, right? They were to go. You see, the light would signify for them not only just a presence, but a direction and guidance of where they ought to go. Let me use another hunting illustration. Sometimes you go into the woods, and if you've ever gone into the woods when it's dark, it's not easy to find your way. And so some hunters have these little reflecting lights that they would, a tab, that you'd stick on a tree. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you never heard that before. But it's just a little thing that's bigger, you know, no bigger than the end of your little finger that you take. And it's just a little tack that you'd put on a tree. And you'd put that every, you know, you go out in the day, of course, as you're making your way back from where you're going to go the next morning. And maybe every, you know, maybe every 20 yards, you put on a little reflector tab on that tree, and then you go a little bit further up the trail and you put another one. And what that does is, as you go in from that starting place when you go into the woods, you make that first contact, and there's that light, right? And so you go towards that light, and that's so helpful. I'll tell you what, it's helpful when you have those little reflector tabs, because you make it there, and then from that spot you look and you walk down and there's another tab. And you continue to follow that tab until you get to the place to where you're going. Light can be direction. Direction. That's the way the light was in the wilderness. Those people could follow. Oh, they get up, you know, the cloud is picking up and moving. Up at night, the light is, you know, the fire is picking up and moving. It must be time to go because it's moving. And so those people did that in the wilderness. And folks, can I tell you, when Jesus came to post-wilderness people, he was saying, listen, I'm the light. I'm the guiding. I'm the direction for you as you go through life. Again, back in Numbers chapter 14, I read that verse that God's presence would be there, but he says, and that thou goest before them. Somebody that goes before and puts out those lights is a blessing. The light before us is a blessing. Do you know that Jesus is the light of the world? He goes before us where we're going. He prepares the way. He leads us and guides us so that we can go to the right place. Are you thankful for God's leading and guiding? You know what? This Christmas, when we look at the lights, we can stop and say, you know what? That light is beautiful, and it decorates that tree, or it decorates that house very well. But when we see the lights tomorrow night, I hope that my children can stop and say, you know what? This light, God has really promised to lead us and guide us. We're going to know the way because He is a light to us. Exodus chapter 13, verse 21, right in the middle of it says that he gave the pillar of a cloud and a pillar of fire to give them light to lead them on the way. Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. He would give them a light to lead them the way. Psalm 48:14 says that he will be our guide even unto death. That's the light of the world. In fact, I remember in Luke chapter 1, the Christmas story, and we've got, you know, Mary talking about her own baby that she would have, and to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet unto the way of peace. We see God's leading and guiding as opposed to the human blindness that we all have. Are you thankful for God's leading and guiding? Again, we're looking at lights. Are you thankful for lights? You're going to look at Christmas lights. We remember, first of all, God's presence. Second of all, we remember God's leading and guiding. Third, we see something different. You know, light was a symbol to even the nation of Israel as a symbol of holiness. The light. The light. You know, I think about Moses when he had spent his time in God's presence. And it doesn't necessarily, I can't even remember exactly what it says. When he came down to the people, what was interesting about Moses in his face? He shone, you know. Does it say with light? I don't know, but there was some sort of light about Moses because he had been in God's presence. Light was not just, you know, it was something, it was not something physical, but there was a sense of holiness that came from God that Moses had, and the people could not even kind of even bear that. Turn your back and bow to the ground because it was too holy. Light represents holiness and purity. We see that with light. Light. Light purifies things. We use lights today to purify different elements, and certainly light would be that holiness as opposed to darkness. That holy light that would declare the truth. Again, in Luke 1:79, to give light to them that sit in darkness. And we're talking about that spiritual darkness that the world doesn't have. My friend, I want to tell you, when we look at lights this Christmas, we ought to see the holiness of God that was brought to us by Jesus. The light of the world, the purity. We ought to see holiness, and it ought to turn us away from that dark world. Lights. A light to inspire us to be holy like Him. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5 says, "And this is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light." Of course, that's God. And in Him is no darkness at all. But we see in John 1:5 that He was the light that shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now this one might not seem important to you, but I want you to think with me. Are you thankful for the holiness of God, Jesus? I really want you to think about this. Are you thankful for the holiness? In other words, what if God or Jesus were not holy? Have you ever followed somebody that wasn't a good leader in the things that they were teaching you at? You know, you go to some athletic club and there's a trainer there, and you can tell by looking at them that they have there's nothing shape about them. That this, it's usually not the kind of person that you want. You want to see that it worked for them, that they demonstrated that very thing, that they were. I want you to think just about, you know, God tells us to be holy. Aren't you glad that there's not a verse in the Bible that says, "Listen, I'm not holy, but you be holy anyway"? We would have a hard time with that. But can I tell you, the light of the world is a holy one that says, "Listen, look at me, and this is what you ought to be. For be holy as I am holy." Light represents holiness and purity and cleanness. And Jesus comes to us as a babe in the manger and says, "I am the light of the world." Presence, guidance, direction, holiness, as opposed to the impurity and wickedness and darkness of this world. But let's look at another one. Light is a reference to His truth. In fact, we see in the Scriptures that truth and light are given. Truth as opposed to falsehoods derived in dark human hearts. You know, light reveals unknown realities. Have you ever thought something was a certain case and then the light was shown and all of a sudden it changed your perspective of what was there? You thought a certain thing. It's amazing how something can look so different when there's not much light. And then you turn the light on and it looks so different. Amazing things. You know, there have been many times in our life it seems like that we've looked for a different home. Pictures are kind of like that. You know, you look at a picture and it can lie. Have you ever seen that a picture can lie to you? Almost every home that, you know, is on the internet, you know, it looks like an amazing place. You're like, that is move-in condition. We said that so many times. And I had so much hope for that place. And you went there and like, that picture was a lie. Right? I thought the refrigerator was that big. You've seen those pictures, you know, that stretch it out so the kitchen looks so big, and the wife is like, that is a kitchen, you know, that's the one I want to go to. And you get there and it was this small, you know, it wasn't anything like this, you know, and that big living room and those big bedrooms and those big, you know, it's just, and it was like, they're just normal size. They figured out a way, you know, to make things, you know, light has a tendency to reveal truth. It reveals the truth about things. Turn on the lights and see the reality of it. Go visit yourself and you see the truth. Can I tell you that Jesus is the light of the world? He reveals the reality of truth, showing what is real in a very, very dark world. Can I tell you? There's a lot of darkness, and I wish that there were as many lights of truth out there as there were lights at Christmas time. Oh, we would see the sin and the deceit and the falsehoods that are out there today. My friend, can I tell you that that the world is a lie, but Jesus is the truth. And when we see that light as we drive around the countryside or the city tomorrow, may we stop and say, you know what? Jesus represents the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm thankful for truth that Jesus brings to us. Truth, when we see the truth of Jesus, the truth of the Holy Spirit, which gives us even liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You know what that verse is telling us? He used the word liberty, but it's like using the word light. There's light where there's truth. God lightens things up. God says, this is right, this is real, and He bears witness inside of us through the Holy Spirit. There's that truth. That light is turned on, and we see the truth. We're not walking in something that appears just to be this, and then all of a sudden we see the light. Oh, it wasn't anything what we thought. In John chapter 12 and verse 35, Jesus was speaking to a group of people. He said, yet a little while is the light with you. He's talking about Himself. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. And we're not just talking about presence and guiding there. We're talking about turning the lights on so that we can know the truth. My friend, Jesus is that truth. You're not going to get the truth. Can I tell you, you're not going to get the truth by turning on the news today. But even some of the good sources of what you would call truth, they're not even the truth. Can I tell you that Jesus is the truth? He came to this earth and said, everybody in 2021, in the midst of darkness and falsehoods, He said, I am the light of the world. And he that followeth after me, not this news or not that website or that whatever, that doesn't mean we can't use those. Follow me and you'll have the truth. You say, Pastor, I live in a day where I don't know anything. I don't know the truth. You know what? Even in DBS this morning, some of the guys were talking. It's like, we don't know the truth. We don't know the truth. And you're right, but let's not forget we have truth right here. This is what we have. So walk in this. I don't know the statistics, and I don't know what's going on. I don't know the truth about this and the truth about that and what that'll do to you and what this will do to you. I don't know, but I'll tell you this. We need to care a whole lot more about what's in this book than knowing the truth about a virus or anything else. You know, because the fact is we don't know a lot. But we do know a lot. And you know that we're in a safe place when we're right here. Can I tell you that? We're in a safe place right here. We're in a safe place when we are in God's truth and when we're walking with Jesus. God's truth as opposed to human falseness, falsehood, and ignorance. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And lastly, we see that light displays God's glory. Isn't it amazing how light can make something look so beautiful? Glory comes from light. You want to sell something, what do they tell you? Make sure that you put lights on it, right? Put lights on it. Shine light on it. Don't take a dark picture. Don't take a picture, you know, right at dusk, you know, of that thing that you want to sell that's outside. No, get the bright
part of the day. Go out in the bright part. You know, a photographer would know, you want to get light, right? You want to get light so that it looks its best, so that it's got that shine, so that it's got that glory. Anything that has that glory is because light shines on it and it reflects that light. It brings out the glory. Jesus came and said, I'm the light of the world. Display of God's glory. I think about the angels in Luke chapter 2 and verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and they were the glory of the Lord shone round about them. You know what's a part of every one of our minds when we think about that? Light. It was God's glory shining to those shepherds. Was there a light? I believe there was, because the glory of the Lord shone. Again, going back to Moses, the glory of the Lord shone. There was glory there. There was blessing there. There was a brilliance that was there. God's blessing of light is revealing the item glory, and that's Jesus Christ, His glory. And of course, this is in the backdrop of man's woe, shame, death. It's a new way to look at lights, honestly. You're going to take your family, or you're going to drive around at night, and you're going to see lights, and we're going to see beautiful lit up, and some others not so beautiful, and some homes that don't have any lights. We don't have a whole lot at our house. But you know what? We're going to see lights. I just want to challenge you when you look at lights at Christmas. I don't know if they're used in a pagan form. I don't know that, but I want to tell you something. When we see lights, I think a Christian ought to go from the beautiful decoration to stopping and saying, you know what, I'm thankful for God's presence. Kids, let's thank God that He's with us. You know what, there's something else about that. Thank the Lord for His leading and guiding in our lives. You see those lights over there in that beautiful decorated house? Praise the Lord for His holiness and His purity and His cleanness. You see those lights over there? And we praise the Lord for the glory that He gives to us. Light. Jesus came to share the truth. And can I tell you that the light's greatest significance is the light that lightens man's heart from a dark state that is lost in his sin, on his way to a dark hell, where there is no light. You say, well, Pastor, isn't it filled with fire? Hell is going to be a dark place, the darkest place there ever was. You know why? You know why hell is going to be the darkest place you can imagine? It's because Jesus is the farthest away from it. There's no part of Jesus in hell. Because He's the light of the world. And yes, our human wicked hearts are there in the darkness of sin where Jesus is not, God is not. But can I tell you, my friends, if you're here today, we all have dark hearts, but Jesus came to show light to your heart. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus came to give you light, to light your heart, to change you, to make you like Him, so that you could be with Him. That's the greatest application of light. When Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He's a light for salvation. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, can I say, let Jesus turn the lights on in your life. Father, thank You so much that You are the light of the world. God, I pray that it would make a difference in how we look at lights this Christmas season. Lord, even not Christmas season, Lord, may we look at lights and see the significance of the light of the world that Jesus has brought to us. God, thank You. Thank You, and help us to be reminded this season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.